Let me welcome honorable members, the departmental staff, Abonda Vivid, who have joined us today, our invited, uninvited, curious, most welcome guests. Feel relieved. We won't ask you for permits to be in the meeting. You are free to be allowed. You'll only be asked permits to be not here. First, before we go to the process of the meeting, I think it's important just to note that unfortunately, as we meet today, tomorrow will be marking almost exactly 3 months since the Lily Mine disaster, where we still have got 3 workers that are underground, unable to be retrieved or recovered. And I think it's important that as we meet as this committee, we acknowledge the fact that there's still a lot of work that still needs to be done. And probably from the department side, there might be a need to put our heads together and say what more can be done. In particular, with regards to also now to the threat to a potential job crisis. I don't want to say there is no threat to job losses, but the fact of the matter is, since there are now financial challenges that have begun to crop up. And I think that's it's important just to appeal to all stakeholders, including the employers in the management of the company, that probably all possible that could be done be attended to. And I'm sure the department will continue to drive that process moving forward. As we have said, none of us should rest until those workers have been recovered. And as much as we may have reservations, there may be things that we may have to do that may not necessarily be normal to do, just for the sake of addressing the situation without saying the precedent setting. And that's what I'm saying. So from the committee side, we may have to find a way on how best we can assist. Two bills are much better than one. But also to see how what is the progress going forward. I must say, when we are in situations of this nature, it's just an act of caution. It doesn't help to blame each other. It's better to do the task that has to be done. And then start to say who are supposed to do what best. Otherwise, we end up not doing what we're supposed to do. I think also it's important from the chairperson's point of view to also say that we have noted that the mining sector is out. And I'm sure we are still going to find a way where there could be an interaction between ourselves and the committee and the department in relation to that. But it's critical to appeal to stakeholders. You know, for some of us in our previous lives, we used to argue that's one difficult thing. Once you take positions outside, it becomes very difficult to agree when you are looking at each other. Simply because what drives you is what you have said that is being understood. Sometimes we differ not necessarily on the basis of differences. We differ on the basis that we have to protect the positions that we have taken prior that are known. And therefore, to reverse position has never been an easy thing. So my appeal is that, again, all stakeholders must engage with the process. Don't bottle yourself in a situation where you have it. You see, when I say that will never happen, it's going to be very difficult to come back and say, why I have agreed now it can happen. I always say to people, there is nothing that is as painful as someone to withdraw a decision or to reverse a position that they are taking. So it's important, even now as the negotiations are told, supposedly to begin in the platinum sector. The problem is that if you negotiate in the public domain, you never agree. I've always made this appeal. Regardless what is your position, put your position where it is relevant to put. Otherwise, if you go out and there's a position that says, I won't give you an increase, or I want so much increase, it becomes difficult to come back, because one thing, all of us, it's a human character. No one wants to accede or concede to defeat. So even a compromise sometimes constitutes defeat. So it's important that as parties we must consistently patience is one of the most critical ingredients in the processes of negotiation. The last two things I think I'll not be doing this, although in as much as they may not necessarily be relevant in this context. I'll spend the major part of my older life, not the youngest, in KwaZulu-Natal. And none of us in this house doesn't know where this country comes from. None of us doesn't know why we had a country of two in one. And I think it's important to say, amongst other issues that nearly plunged this country into ashes, was the demon of racism. And it is very, very important, especially to the younger generation. Sometimes if you don't have an experience of what people have gone through, you are bound to commit a similar mistake from both sides. My task, and I think the task of all of us as lawmakers in this country, is to make sure that this country doesn't go back from where it has been. We may, coming from different ideological or political backgrounds, but we've got one priority responsibility in this country is to root out the demon wherever it stands is happiness. Not being being punitive, we may have to apply a certain level of patience, but at some point we may have to be as much brutal as possible, just for the sake of the future of our own country. So I think it's important just to make that mark to say, wherever we've got differences, but we shouldn't allow anyone at this moment to take us on a journey that we thought we'd cover so much and take us there. Lastly, because we are here, and honorable members, I always maintain one view. Anger and ignorance are quite a very expensive exercise. This morning, I think I was watching the TV. If I'm not mistaken, Honorable Nathan, about four schools into a church in the home. As we speak, kids can't go to school, even if people get what they want. And I think it's not a question of just condemning. The question you must ask, where are the people who are supposed to provide the leadership? And I think it's one of the challenges that both structures of government as well as traditional leadership will have to take in this issue. I would have thought that all of us, in all our differences, but there's only one issue that there is consensus on. We may disagree on the pace, on any other thing, but there's no way I'm sure we can agree with people who want to take the future of this country to ransom, tempering the institution of learning. Education of all of us said is the only weapon that can take us from the bondage and address imbalances of the past. It can't be us who are now tampering with that. And I've asked this question, what would you do when you have got an intellectual who has an experience of torturing buildings of institutions of Highland? In as much as I said, we may disagree on all the other issues, there are things that must remain far closer. Amongst those is our education. So I think it's important just for all of us to do all that is within our power and disposal to ensure that in recognition of the rights of individuals, both as a collective but also as individuals, there are issues that we should not even attempt to put a justification. So I think it's important just to say you retain and maintain and give best to the little that you have in the demand of the best that you want. So I think on that note, every third show, are there any apologies?
Good morning, members of the guests. I've got apologies from Mr. Malema and Mr. F.E.V. Thank you.
I thought there was also an apology from Honorable Mapolo, who is, has got a doctor's appointment, and I'm not a prophet, but I know that you are going to come back. So he's going to the doctor and he'll come back and be part of this conference. So don't keep us in suspense when the doctor, because if you don't come back, we'll think that the worst has been discovered by the doctor. So don't make honorable members look around why Honorable Mahford is not coming back. And only we find pictures of you in the beach front. there was one comrade of mine in my previous life who asked to be excused in a meeting to go and see the doctor. And I won't say, I think I can say, because it was not Orlando Harris and Kaiser Chiefs. It was Amazon and Orlando Harris. We were a very strong support of Amazon. So once the meeting adjourned, the match was playing off Amazon at Kish Park Stadium. So when Amazon was caught, they saw this man. He came just with his full face on the screen, celebrating the goal, but not seeing the doctor. So be careful to be seen somewhere where you are not supposed to be. On that note, apologies. We are here. How did we arrive here? May not necessarily be that important. But the fact of the matter was here. One reason. All the pieces that among the issues that amendments to the MPRDA, there were four areas that describe the race as areas of preservation. I won't go to the rest. But central to this was the issue of absence of participation or consultation on the part of the National House of Assembly. And I think I must emphasize this point, the National House of Assembly as an institution. And on the basis of that, we have been going to and fro, trying to master the administrative procedure, how best to handle it. As I'm saying, you note, I said four, but there was one which affected the National House of Traditionalism. And hopefully, even after this, we will still have to get a time together as a committee to master the administrative aspect, because it's quite a tricky road to avoid. But we hope we have been going through the correct one, as we have made that reference to yourselves, to begin to look at the proposed amendment and then say what's your take. And I must say also to honorable members, after that, obviously, we will only limit ourselves to questions of clarity, of which we may be able to respond. And by procedure, we'll then allow also the department to make its own response on your submission. And we'll ask questions of clarity. We had anticipated that we were going to have a field day up until the afternoon, where I grew. The afternoon is 1 o'clock, but I know by own definition it's 12 o'clock. But for me, afternoon I used to know to be 1 o'clock, but that is the time almost everyone now knows that it's time to eat. So, unfortunately, we did not get that privilege because our committee happens to be sitting at a time when there is a vote one, which is the president's. So that is the limitation. And by decisions taken anyway, when there is full plenary, the committees are not allowed to, I don't want to say under exceptional circumstances, I've never heard that way, are not allowed to have a sitting. So we will continue up until 12:30. And then we will deal with the issues from the committee side. So, as we have said, and I think it's important just to also say, we made the request to be granted an extension of 50 days. The reason you didn't have any debate, not because of any other reason, it happened that Amakosi, sometimes when they say things, miracles happen. So your request coincidentally happened to coincide with the fact that we're busy with the departmental budget processes. So that's why you were able, without even any while more, to say it's going to give us this. So you requested almost at the right time. So that's why I say, in the summer course, I don't want to talk like one minister who said he's born Uzala in Yanga. So, Mama, I've been meeting a Mashaela who fell into me. So, no. And of course, it happened with you. Because your things are like, for your own reason. By the time you're making the request, it fitted exactly within our house. So, there has been no indication on the work of the committee. And we are dealing with this bill as a high priority one. To understand that it is a very contentious one. And we are hopeful that though we will find a way where we can have a smooth process of doing justice to issues on this. So on that note, we want to give it to you, Bonda Desi, to talk to your report or submission that you have made, and then respectfully allow us to also ask questions of Clarence. I'm sure an hour is absolutely enough for you. Thank you very much. You can introduce yourself sooner than you for granted, which she has with mobile. Just to probably introduce the education and then be able to then allow the presentation to go ahead. The power will go in a shot.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Quest Committee. Warmest greetings to the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee and the Department, also the experts. Chairperson, we indeed appreciate and welcome the invitation, and thank you very much for accepting our request for expression. It is indeed an honor to be here. We are very much grateful. We believe that this engagement is historic in a sense that it has the potential to change the lives of our African traditional communities, and we are looking forward to fruitful and deliberations. Before anything, let me introduce my team. On my immediate left is the Deputy Chairperson of the House, Inkosi Mashangu. Next to him is Advocate Machala, who is the Advisor of the House. The CEO on my far right, Ubaba Abraham Sitole, is the CEO of the House. And on my right is the Chief of Staff in the Office of the Chairperson, Ubaba Jacob Masis. I will head over to Wallace Tole to open the discussion.
Chairperson, thank you. It's normally in our culture, in Gozi, countries of Gozi. So, in Runa, I ought to have introduced Ingozi. But because Ingozi, I have introduced you, and the task lies with the Induna to introduce. So, the chairperson who was talking is Ingozi Mogane, who is the chairperson of the National House. He's from Northwest, that is his province, Kobukoni Bukiri.
Let me hand over to the deputy to lead in the discussion.
Thank you, Honorable Chair Kosi Maogane. I want to start by greeting the Honorable Chairperson of this Portfolio Committee, previous members of this Portfolio Committee, our Honorable MPs, Amakosi, Samba now, our staff, and guests that are in the House. Firstly, Honorable Chairperson, I just want to thank this committee for giving us this opportunity to come and present, and also for granting us permission for the extension that you have given us. It has been, as my chairperson has said, that this is a historic presentation for us and a historic moment for us as the institution, especially coming from a year that was last year that was extremely, extremely difficult for rural areas, where we've seen rural areas revolting against mining houses, where we've seen traditional councils being banned, we've seen assets being banned in rural areas just because of the poverty that we find in those areas where mining takes place. We now want want to make the following inputs to this Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Bill. According to us, we believe that this bill is a Section 76 bill, which is an ordinary bill that affects provinces, and as such, it contains provisions to which the procedures set out in Section 76 of the Constitution applies. As the National House Chair, we must state that we view as a serious drawback the alleged opinion of the state law advisors that the bill should not be referred to the National House, because initially that's what was said. And we feel that there may have been many other pieces of legislation that affects our rural communities that have not gone through the National House. So we are worried in terms of how our law advisors are looking at these pieces of legislation, because this is a very important piece of legislation. And as I stated before, that we've seen many traditional councils banning, we've seen many houses of traditional leaders being banned by communities just because of because of the act that was there before it was amended. We would want to make the following amendment to the definitions as contained in the bill. As the institution are saying that a community should mean a coherent social unit or group of persons under the jurisdiction of a local government or traditional council. We want to state that traditional councils should be included in that definition. A member of a community would mean any person or persons tracing his or her cultural roots to a particular traditional council. I think soon, Chen, whenever it is either holidays when people are making their routes to their holiday destinations, us as Africans in most cases, we make our routes back to where we come from. And we believe that all of us, even though that are here in Cape Town, if you ask a person, they would say, if they say they're from Cape Town, and you say, but where do you come from? Then that person will then trace their route back to where they come from, and that's where they go normally during periods of recess. So we believe that those people should be properly covered in the definition. In terms of beneficiation, they are saying beneficiation includes transformation, value addition or downstream beneficiation of a mineral and petroleum resource, or a combination of minerals to a higher value product over baselines to be determined by the minister. This can either be consumed locally or exported, but not limited to a primary stage, which includes any process of the winning, recovering, extracting, concentrating, refining, calcining, classifying, crushing, screening, washing, reduction, smelting, and gasification health. B, secondary stage, which includes any action of converting a concentrate or mineral resource into an intermediate product. C, tertiary stage, which includes any action of further converting that product into a refined product suitable for purchase by mineral-based industries and enterprises. And the final stage being D, which is the action of producing properly processed, cut, polished, or manufactured products or articles from minerals accepted in the industry and trade as fully and finally processed or manufactured and value-added products or articles. We are also proposing that we should delete in the definition the labor sending errors and its definition with the insertion of preferential employment opportunities, which means creation of employment opportunities for mining communities. Labor sending areas, we believe that is an apartheid system of sourcing labor and should be discontinued. Progress should be on appointing local rural communities as the source of labor before extending employment opportunities for non-community members. But what we are not saying, Chair, is that as much as we acknowledge that we have labor sending areas and we believe that mining houses have not done much to improve the lives of those people that have been coming from your formerly labor sending areas, those areas should be given attention. But in future, with future mining applications, we are saying that that should not be something that is encouraged, where you find that communities that have mining resources in their own areas, they find themselves with serious influx of people that are coming towards them. You find that people that are owners of that land, none of them are working those mines. And I think that has been a catalyst for all these conversations that we are finding in those areas, Boskukune and Mukhalakwena and other areas. Communities there just feel that as much as there is a mine there, poverty still persists. Even though it would just be one or two preschools that have been built by mining houses, but either than that, there would be no improvement in that area. So we're hearing that labor-friendly areas should not be something that is encouraged going forward. Two, insertion of subparagraph J on section 2 of the Act. In terms of J, we are saying that it must promote and ensure minimum unencumbered net below ownership of the historically disadvantaged South Africans in mining companies of not less than 26%. We've seen a chair where empowerment has been done. People owe a lot of money. Some of the mining companies would just make sure that people never get to pay what they had borrowed. And after a certain period, those shares would be taken over back by either that mining company or whoever who would be friends to those mining houses. So we are saying that the 26% that should be owned by these historically disadvantaged individuals should be unhammered, should not be owing. Three, insertion of paragraph E on section 47(1) of the Act. A, we are saying is in contravention of breach of section 3 of the amendment of the Broad-Based Socio-Economic Empowerment Charter for the South African mining and minerals industry. Four, we are also proposing amendments on section 9, 10 and 11, where we are saying all applications for licenses and related matters, i.e. prospecting rights, objections, etc., must be taken over by an independent body, which in our opinion, the bill must leave provision for the establishment of such a body, which should be called the Minerals and Mining Development Council, in order to eliminate any visa conflict of interest which may arise on those who are vested with powers to make such decisions. This independent body must handle all matters pertaining to all applications which are currently the responsibilities of the Minister, Regional Manager, Regional Mining Development and Environmental Committee, and the Ministerial Advisor Council. Section 9 must make provision that this is mandatory for all successful applications for mining to have community trusts within the application, that is, as equity holders. 9.1, deletion of regional manager, or 9, subsection 1, insertion of minerals and mining development council, 9, subsection 2, on 9, subsection 2, with insertion of minerals, so deletion of minister, with the insertion of minerals and mine development council, 10, subsection 1, division of regional manager on 10, subsection 1, with insertion of the Minerals and Development, Minerals and Mining Development Council. 10, 2, division of the wording, the regional manager must refer the objection to the Regional Mining and Development and Environmental Committee to consider the objections and to advise the minister thereon, with the insertion of the parent. So, objecting must refer to the objections to the Minerals and Mining Development Council for adjudication. So I think this new body must cut across the national one and also structures within, regional structures within provinces that would consider these applications, which body would act as an independent body. Five, proposed amendment of section 11.3. Deletion of section 11.3 in its entirety, in that this clause indirectly defeats the purpose of black economic empowerment for the reason and suspicion in our view that black economic empowerment deals that fails. We find a situation where the very same transactions which were owned through black economic empowerment are sold back to the white mining companies without even the consent and knowledge of the minister. It is common cause that most of the current black economic empowerment deals are ownership with debt, and therefore it is of utmost importance that there be a register on current status of all black economic empowerment deals to ensure that the minister has knowledge where the alienation of this of these deals back to the hands of the white business as a result of debt by owners of black-owned companies. Any alienation, whether as a result of default by black economic empowerment deal, must be done only with the consent of the council and administered by the minister or the executive authority. 6. Amendment of 10A, B, C, D, E, and 10G. The Regional Mining and Environmental Development Committee must comprise of the Regional Council members as determined by the Mining and Minerals Development Council. The minister must seek advice from the council with reference to Regional Mining Development and Environmental Committee matters. 7. Section 5A, prohibition relating to an illegal act. This clause provides that no person may prospect for or remove mine, conduct technical cooperation, reconnaissance operations, explore for and produce any mineral or petroleum, or commence with any work incidental thereto on any area without giving the landowner or lawful occupier of the land at least 21 days written notice. Regional leaders are of the view that no person may commence with any work on an area without consulting the landowner or lawful occupier first. Regional leaders further suggest that the notice should be for a period of at least 30 days, which we believe that 21 days might be too short of a notice. I think all of us are, but in most cases, information takes a bit of time to reach some of our people in rural communities, so hence we are saying that possibly 30 days might assist. It is therefore recommended that the clause be amended as follows. No person may prospect for or remove mine, conduct technical cooperation, reconnaissance operations, explore for and produce any mineral of petroleum, or commence with any work incidental thereto on any area without consulting and giving the landowner or lawful occupier of the land in question at least 30 days written notice. 8. Section 17, granting and duration of prospecting right. Section 4A provides that if the application of prospecting right relates to land occupied by a community, the minister, subject to the advice of the council, may impose conditions to promote the rights and interests of the community, including conditions requiring the participation of the community. Regional leaders support this clause, but recommend that the word may be replaced by must. It should be mandatory or obligatory on the part of the minister to consult and seek advice from the council when imposing conditions requiring the participation of the community, and it should not be optional. Section 22.4b, application of mining rights. In terms of this clause, if the regional council accepts the application, the regional manager of the department must notify the applicant to consult with the landowner, lawful occupier, and any interested and affected party, and include the result of the consultation in the relevant environmental reports. Regional leaders recommend that the department's regional manager must also notify the applicant to consult with the community. If the applicant relates to land occupied by community, it is suggested that the clause be amended as follows. To consult in the prescribed manner with the landowner, local occupier, and any interested and affected party, including the community, if the application relates to land occupied by community, and includes the result of consultation in the relevant environmental report. 10, section 23.2a, granting and duration of mine rights. This clause states that the minister may impose if the application for mining relates to the land occupied by a community, such conditions to promote the rights and interests of the community, including conditions requiring the participation of the community. It is recommended that the word may be replaced by must again, and the minister must impose after consultation with the council. 11, section 27.5a, application for issuing and duration of mine permit. The clause provides that the regional manager must, if he accepts the application, notify the applicant to consult with the landowner, lawful occupier, any interested or affected party. Regional leaders recommend that the community on whose land the mining permit is issued must also be consulted. 12, section 28, information and data in respect of mining or processing of minerals. This clause provides that the holder of the mining right must submit the prescribed annual report to the regional council manager, detailing the holder's compliance with the provisions of section 2G and F of the amendment, amended properties, Social Economic Empowerment Charter for the South African Mining and Mineral Village. Mine community and rural development requirements are vague, as you see them. There should be a specific target to be committed to at the bulk of South Africans live in rural areas and should enjoy the benefits of rural projects. And we are saying even those that are residing in urban areas, most of them still have their houses back in those rural communities that they come from. Traditionally, they support the view that equity participation by communities in the mining industry is important, and that they give the space to the communities being invested in rural projects. 13, section 50, 4A. The minister may investigate occurrence, nature, extent of mineral resources. In terms of extraction, the investigation to be conducted on any land to investigate if any mineral occurs should be done after consultation and notification in writing to the owner, occupier, or person in control of the intention to do so. Traditional leaders recommend that the traditional communities should be consulted and notified if the investigation will be done on communal land. Chapter 7 of the Act, Section 104.2d, division of Section 104.2d with insertion of Section 104.2aa, that the minister must provide technical and financial resources. Clause 104.4, the above sections must be reviewed in the interest of the community and weighted against cost-benefit analysis. Amendment of Chapter 7, that is, traditionally has held the view that the creation of the Minerals and Mining Development Council should be the function of competency of Parliament through the relevant committee. The appointed members of the council should include traditional leaders as well. The establishment of the Minerals and Mining Development Council, division of Section 56A1, with the insertion of a portfolio committee on mineral resources, must through Parliament establish an independent body responsible for administering and processing applications for minerals and mining development resources to be known as the Mineral and Mining Development Council. The said council should be should be represented in all regions through regional councils appointed by the Mineral and Mining Development Council. Deletion of the Director General with the insertion of the independent body on Section 56A2A. Over and above the three members of the relevant State Department, there should be an inclusion of one member appointed by the National Level Traditional Leaders. Functions of Minerals and Mining Development Council. Deletion of 56B with the insertion of it is an obligation of the Minister to seek advice from the Council. Attention of office by member of the Mineral and Mining Development Council. Deletion of Section 56D1C with insertion of tenders his or her resignation in writing to the Mineral and Mining Development Council through the relevant Parliament Portfolio Committee, and such resignation is accepted, or insertion of the Mineral and Mining Development Council through the relevant Parliament Portfolio Committee may remove a member of council from office, and all other resignations and terminations of members should follow the same process on Section 56D2. Honourable Chair, I want to take this opportunity and thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us as the National House to present. These inputs, Chair, were canvassed in provinces, all the provinces that the Houses of Traditional Leaders have made their inputs on this presentation that we are making, hence the initial request for the additional 15 days. I want to thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and members of the Portfolio Committee. Nano Matala, let me just make one correction. I'm not advocate, but attorney. I'm a trustee of the Black Law Association Education Center. I'm also having my own practice. in Pretoria, which is called Maluleke Suriti Makuna Matala Incorporated. One input that I want to place to the House is that you realize that in the amending bill, on definition, we agree with the proposed definition, but we question why the specific qualification in the Ford Act is removed. The reason why we want it to be incorporated is that we have looked it in the eye of a judge, that when judges are adjudicating over matters, they are looking what your intention was with the legislature. And in the eyes of judges, any definition in a statute has got three specific functions. The first function, when you define a word, is to restrict its meaning. The second function would be to give it a wider meaning. And the third function of a definition would be to clarify it. So if you remove what was incorporated in the old Act, then you are going to have a problem when there's a dispute, i.e. of what is transformation. Because remember, when a matter is presided over by a judge, you've got two persons coming with different views. So you don't want them to go and argue about what the meaning of a transformation is. That is the reason why we have said that the specific, thank you, that is why we're proposing that what was covered specifically in the old definition should be incorporated. That is one. Two, we are also proposing that given the history of this country of licensing legislation, this democratic government has put in place independent regulatory bodies which adjudicate over licenses, just like NERSA, for example, and various gaming boards. So the National House of Traditional Leaders and their committees would like to see an independent body that will adjudicate over licenses of mineral rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
If there was a way, I would always invite you to come and present in the comments. You took only 30 minutes with everything that you did. But I can say you didn't do a job. You did a thorough job. And I'm sure with art, I will allow my dear Honorable Leonard. I merely said, why Matala Honorable Leonard must declare his interest or recuse himself. But I could see his reality. Now, I understand why today there is no dispute. There are two people who always claim to be king of traditional leaders. One, he claims to be a traditional leader from Boxer in the different, but today he's quiet. That declaration of chieftains is no more vocal. Then there is another one. Because there is a Matlal in the house, he's no longer prepared to claim that he's a traditional leader. I will assume there is only one undisputed traditional leader in this committee. Yeah.
So without them, the until there is another one from Umvezo, I will then say there is a question about so far the only one that remains undisputed. But others have decided voluntarily to go on silent mode on this thing. We will go, honorable members, on questions that's with clarity from the National House of Traditional Leaders. And obviously, we must thank you for your input. We take your input quite seriously. That is why we will need to ask questions of clarity so that when we go in committee ourselves, we don't second guess or assume the issues that we raise. I always say there's one thing that is good about politicians and political activists. Always hold the correct statement that was made and then distort it in a way that is going to suit your own address. That's what you must do. Any question of clarity? Honorable Smith? I won't say you cost the Rima today because they are real traditional. Honorable Rima. I'm thinking, why is your hand stays like this? Good. Honorable Piginini. Honorable Matala. In Kosumande. Do you want to lodge a dispute? Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm grateful that he's a representative part of the NHTL delegation is from the Maliki Shariki Distinguished Tennis Club, because then I can ask my question. But my question relates basically to process, and I would like his view, because they view it from a different angle, I think, and they're not really involved in process going forward. But as you're aware, I would submit that there are basically three different processes one could follow. And the one is Section 75 process, which National Assembly, committees to vote, goes to National Assembly, goes to NCOB, and then normally to the President accepts that there's a problem and goes back to the National Assembly. Then there's a Section 76 process, which follows basically similar to that process, but it has stronger rights to enforce its decisions, and it's contained in Section 76. Then there seems to be a possible third process, and that is in terms of Section 18 of the Act to which you refer. Now, that Section 18, on the face of it, makes it compulsory to be consulted with issues, and the operative word is pertaining to, I think, communal issues and rights. There's a particular phraseology for it, but it says any parliamentary bill pertaining to customary law or customs of traditional communities. Now, that would presuppose that you are in required to, well, Parliament is in required to refer to your views. A, my question arises then is, does that make it a Section 76 law by mere virtue of that particular clause? Maybe it's a legal technical explanation, but, and then secondly, as I've just set out the process very broadly, even if we accept that it's a Section 75 or 76 bill, we debated the bill, well, we argued, we considered the bill in the portfolio committee, it went to the National Assembly, it went to normal process, it came back, and it was referred to the President. In this process, we have a new intervenience, as we call it, by the President, referring it back to Parliament. Is your view that we should consider the bill, the new, your proposals, your submission, come to a decision or consideration one way or another, take it to Parliament or National Assembly to debate, then refer it to the NCOP for their process in terms of, I would guess you would say Section 76, where, assuming on the face of it, you may then have a further right to be consulted, or, because
normally the NCP and the provinces then have public hearings of their own, and further consultations take place. And then it is debated by the NCP, and then if there's any further amendments comes back to the National Assembly or those to the President. What is your view on the process to be followed? Because does it end, I would guess, with the National Assembly, or are you of the view that it should, after the National Assembly debated it, go to the NCP, public hearing being held, you being entitled to be consulted again, or to make your submissions to the, in the province? And then if, of course, if there's no difference with what National Assembly has accepted, it goes to the President. If there are differences, it goes back to National Assembly and the process kicks in. So it sounds like a convoluted question, but it is convoluted process involved. So from where you sit, basically the question is, how do you see the process going forward? Thank you. Well, I'll switch to the State Board Advisors in due time, but any of you would be welcome.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just some things that I've picked up at random, and I know that there's a body of law and practice with which this committee is not particularly familiar. So regarding that, my first question is, just explain to me, is membership of a traditional community entirely voluntary? I don't know if the definitions provide for that. Secondly, your amendments to description of beneficiation. Could you just give us a bit more information on why you want the addition left out? Next is not really a question, but just really a comment. Unencumbered 26% ownership is fine, but has consequences. And the consequence is that there will be a lot less investment in mining. Please be aware of that. Then there's a very interesting proposal for an independent body to adjudicate license applications. You do say that in order to eliminate any future conflict of interest, could you give us a practical example that has been perhaps of such a conflict of interest? Moving on to your point 7, prohibition related to an illegal act. Two questions here which I'd like your view on. You talk about consulting landowners and lawful occupiers. What should consulting mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that they come to you and they tell you and you say no and they say, well, tough, go ahead anyway? What are your powers as a landowner when somebody consults you? Do they just have to come and present to you what they're going to do? And then your views matter or don't matter? I'm quite interested to hear what you think. And then a related question, who exactly should be consulted? Does that mean every affected member of the community should be consulted? And how do you define those? I think what a lot of this is about is proper compensation to communities awarded to the right people in communities. I certainly get the feeling that's not happening at the moment. I wonder whether there is sufficient description of how this should happen in the bill. My feeling is that there isn't. And I think perhaps we should be looking at changes to ensure that everybody who is affected adversely by the granting of a mining right or even an exploration right is properly compensated. Moving on to the functions of the Mineral and Mining Development Council, your suggested body. You say it's an obligation for the minister to seek advice from the council. Once again, what does seek advice mean? Can the minister just say, yeah, that's fine, thanks for your advice, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway? Should you not be looking at something that imposes a higher standard on the minister to take that advice? I'll leave for now. Thank you.
Honorable Makauza, I've got no intention that assume that
you made an application to add on the staff, or in the meantime there's a vacancy, let me see yourself this side where honorable members are sitting, so that I don't ignore you and assume you are existed.
I will do so, Chair, and my apologies. My office was not informed of this meeting.
Okay.
So my apologies for just coming late.
Okay. There is a vacancy for now. We will manage the rest. Honorable Beginning.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, there's a division of labor sending areas. I'm very happy with that part, the observation that they had in that part. But I think when you went further into it, it gives you, because the land, you know, the land belongs to the owner of the community of the particular areas. Two, the mineral belongs to the state that underneath the register. And if that is the point, is that now the issue of appointment and looking for professional treatment, it should be looked at on a political level, because we have to agree that everyone has a right to be employed wherever where we are. Now, when you put those arguments in the black and white paper, we are starting to see we're having regionalism, we're having all these kind of areas that we come from, that we fight against for all these years. So we can't go back there. Now, my view, I think it is important that we leave it broadly. Normally, I mean, example, wherever where we are working, or even Mr. Kamban, there are cases where we have scarce skills that you can't have in your area. Immediately, you put those people, apply for it, and they get employed, even where they come from. Now, we don't want to go back to Cape Town. Please, thank you very much. I don't want to, I'm very general, but just appeal to honorable members. For now, we're asking questions of clarity.
Yes.
Can we try our level to reserve our own team and just deal with questions of clarity? But also, I'm not going to say in the way that you must not respond, but also avoid to teach the National House of Traditional Leaders on matters that require the approach and the decision of the committee. But I'll leave it to them, though. Honorable Matan.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mine, it is with regard to the Chief made mention of the Council, Minerals and Mining Development Council. I want to check with the National House of Traditional Leaders, who is going to constitute this Council. The other one, Chair, relates to the preference that should be on appointing local rural communities as the source of labor before extending employment opportunities for non-community members. I wanted to check with the National House of Traditional Leaders with regard to the skills. What will happen if those community members that you are earmarking for employment don't have skills, because you can't just go and take the stomatala who doesn't have skills and say, Maria, this is employment, can you go down and do work in that mining? So I want to check, are you going to outsource some skills outside, or are your own preferences for those who are staying in that particular community? The other one, Chair, relates to community. I wanted to check what we mean by community, because I heard my chief saying even the Karapa, the one that's from Johannesburg, he normally comes to Sukukuni on a monthly basis to check his family. I heard the chief saying that's such a person is regarded as a community, not a community member. So such a person must be consulted. I just wanted them to explain that and what do they mean when they're saying community. Well, some of the questions, I'll reserve them for the Honorable Kosi Mandela here, because we're sharing them. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Bonda Vezita. Makusama ahle angifanelanga ukufa ayofelwa shithi mandibulise and appreciate the presentation and the submission that has been made by the National House of Traditional Leaders. Also knowing uba undabezitha not here alone but with the officials of the National House of Traditional Leaders, let us render you a warm welcome, as my Honorable Chair has initially done so. Through you, Chair, let me seek clarity on the presentation made, for I believe that South Africa belongs to all who live in it. And I would like to read out of the Constitution, Honorable Chair, particularly when we speak about the freedom of movement and residence, which will bring me to speaking to the definitions as presented here based on community. Every citizen has the right to enter, to remain, and to reside anywhere in the Republic of South Africa. God said, Honorable Chair, this is the constitution we live by and will die by. And I would like to then be assisted in terms of understanding the definition on the bill as it is set out to be broad and encompassing what is envisioned by our constitution. Now, from the submission that is made by the National House of Traditional Leaders, Eronda Vezitha, it says a community means a coherent social unit or group of persons under the jurisdiction of a local government or traditional council. Now, I think Honorable Chair, that somewhat limits my understanding of community. And I would like them to clarify, particularly when you also have religious leaders that share the same claim as traditional leaders who have had a huge impact towards our struggle for liberation. So let's take in Limpopo, Maria, ZCC, if they decide to also regard themselves to be a community. Let's go to KZN and find Chembe there, who decides that they are also a community. Where is that in this definition? And that is it. I think I would like to be assisted, because I think we have now narrowly defined what a community is and moved from the broader definition as set out in the bill. But also, let me teach this a little further, Chair. Communal land is always to us as traditional leaders, Honorable Madala, has been a real painful issue, because we are giving a PTO, a nation to occupy, and we are not rendered, per se, under this time, as land owners. Therefore, my question resides on what platform then do we engage when we are defining this community
and the land owner in terms of rights, because I think it's something that we have seen through and dealt with when we speak about this PTO. I'd like your understanding in regards with that. Honorable Chair, labor sending areas, and I would also like to go back to my first issue in terms of the Constitution, and South Africa belongs to all who reside in it. You know, we went on oversight for Zimbabwe, Royal Highness. We were in Northwest looking at housing that is being provided. Now, we went to visit the mine there by the Royal Bafokeng, and the housing they are providing there. And they presented quite an interesting video to us. A man from Mampondo in CBC who had now sought for work in their mine and was given a beautiful house with a value of about 450,000. Now this man, having received such an opportunity, uprooted his family, his wife, his two children, relocated to Rustenburg, and he is now a proud house owner in Rustenburg, meaning that he is now living and enjoying that space. So in terms of your contestation here, such a person may not enjoy the same rights as the community you define in terms of locality, because his traditional cultural design and roots is in Lusigisi within Amampondo Nation, but he is now residing within the Bafokeng and having a job opportunity there. That doesn't, according to your own definition, make him entitled to that, and I'd like clarity in that, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, make also an insertion there on Section 2, subparagraph A, promote and ensure minimum encumbered net value ownership of the HDSA in mining companies of not less than 26%. Contrary to the belief of Honorable Lorimer, who thinks that this may chase away investors, it clearly states the minimum 26% for black economic empowerment. And it is my belief now that since we are even speaking about the broad-based black economic empowerment, we should be even pushing that budget to as high as 49%. It is absolutely ridiculous that we continue to be benchmarked on minimum. Every time we have to talk about black economic empowerment, it is sought to minimum. And I don't think, Bona Visitor, that is what we should be perpetuating, and I would like to gain your view on that. Because as South Africans, we desire to be strategic partners in these mineral resources and not just be given token minimum percentage. And I'd like to gain your own understanding with that. But then you also bring a submission that leaves me thinking of your Minerals and Mining Development Council. These are the powers vested within the minister that is entrusted by the state and by the president to ensure that we should be able, through the Department of Mineral Resources, deal with these matters, and such a committee exists in terms of that holding the department accountable. Now, I would really want to understand what is your thinking in terms of this developmental council, because for me, I believe those powers are vested within the ministry. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Okay.
I hope you can catch most of the issues. With my protection from the chair, I know you were the ones who led the struggle from the onset. So I know the Inkosi they are always going to help Inkosi Ikwana. It's a situation. But from the chair point of view, just relax. You've got my protection to go as smart as possible in avoiding issues that are subject to the debate of the committee. The law practitioner, you are not compelled in a court of law to respond on other questions if they've got no material impact on the matter. You can leave those to the presiding officer to make a judgment call. I'm not saying you must be cowards, but I could see some of the issues that honorable members would want to raise, they would want to subject you to their own terrain. So be careful when people make their arguments to say, like the chair of the National House of Traditional Leader, and then they advance their own views. You see? So you are free to give your answers. Fact, I'm not dismissive, Honorable Smith, but they can answer. But that question will have to be answered by us when we deal with the process going forward. But just quickly, I thought there were a few issues that say, well, I think the question, to me, the questions have been just a few summary questions. What's your expectation in terms of your presentation on what parliament we have to have? I think that one becomes a fair, but I was afraid when it goes to them defining the procedure. On other issues, I think there were questions from Honorable Lorim. I'm trying just to see whether we capture those issues. The first one was the question of whether voluntary membership on traditional council or traditional communities. Is it voluntary? The second one was about the issue of beneficiation. The third one was about the issue of the indications on investment, which is a debate of America. But again, I think you are at liberty. There was an issue about a practical example where there's been conflict of interest. There was an issue about your submission on what understanding of the right consultation. There is an issue on the question of link to that. What does it mean to individual? Who is supposed to be? And there was an issue about the question of a proper definition of compensation. Then those were some of these things that I missed. There is another debate which I'm not sure whether you want to enter. Labor sending areas. I won't ask my questions. I would ask if I ask that question differently. Then there is which was from Honorable Dineni. There is a matter from Honorable Matala on who will, if one were to say, the membership of this proposed independent body, who shall constitute it. Then the question of again, which is similar, which again I say is a debatable matter, but again you can enter that terrain. The question of skills requirement vis-a-vis localized priority employment. Then the question of which is similar, the membership of community. That some of us can stay here for even 15 years, and then when we see opportunities, possibilities, go there and claim to the. Does that say, because since there is a permanent definition, there is something called the Nestorza. KwaZulu nompi. Which means that person is gone, maybe generation later they say, by the way, my great grandfather once told that this is where we come from. That definition, I think that's what all of forgive the brevity of month man. There was that issue whether that certification is that an open ended. Then there was the issue that Honorable Mandela raised, which mostly was around, okay, the definition of a community, as well as the question of the TTOs. Then there was an issue I think it's similar to what Honorable Matala was raising. Because of people, you made that example from your area, which is not west to south. Then there was the issue of the 26% minimum, which I could see that's not a question, that's a push. You see the problem, when you speak with people who have got interest, they may feel that the submission does not completely represent them as traditional leader, but they are wearing a different cap. Now, they forget that they are reaching on the other side. I could say, he said, this is not a complete mandate that you are putting here. Just stick to your mandate that you can pass. Don't be influenced. Let people raise issues out of their own freedom as members of parliament. I am giving it to you, David.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members of the committee, for directly seeking questions. I hope you and my team have answered all the questions. Respect by CEO, and I prefer to be the last line of defense.
Yeah,
to us,
The first question which relate to the procedure, I think you sort of covered us on that one. And I don't think one needs to dwell on it, but it's important that bills that have something to do with traditional leadership or rural communities must refer to the National House. For the National House to make inputs. And with regard to especially bills that Section 76, we believe that provincial legislators will consult with the houses of traditional leaders in the provinces to get their inputs in those bills. That is what we are basically in Chairperson. But we don't want to get involved into the procedure because we think that one should be dealt with by the committee, by Parliament. But what we believe in is that we don't think there's any bill that does not affect rural communities, which traditional leaders ought to make inputs into. But Chair, when we're talking of membership of a traditional community, maybe one is to explain how you become a member of a traditional community. Because when you move from where you move to relocate to another place where there is an inputs, you can't just go in there, you go to the Induna like myself, representing a traditional leader, say there's Ukandela who requests to come and be a member of this community and stay here. Then I will allocate Ukandela a site, then automatically, by Ukandela coming to join the community, becomes a member of that community. That is how it is, where I come from, what I'm used to, that is how you become a member of that particular community. So that is how traditional communities are formed. So there are those, Chair, unfortunately, who are, when they are part of a traditional community, want to cement themselves out of the community, within the community. We're discouraging that. Because there are some forces that attempt to divide a community of a traditional leader by saying, no, you are no more a member of a traditional community. They want to separate you within the community, create another community. We were strongly against that. Then just quickly, I'm going to answer some questions in a broad form. when you're saying who must be consulted, how they must be consulted and so on, when you're talking of a traditional community, we all know that any decision, especially a major decision like this one, is taken, any measure is called of the members of the community to come and discuss on something. Before that imbiz, there is a traditional council that is preparing for that imbiz. It will look into all the necessary aspects that must be brought before the community, for the community to decide on what should go forward, on what the traditional leader should do. So in that particular imbiz, all members of the community are invited, and they have a right to air their views on the subject matter. So that is the consultation that we are talking about. It's very important that they are all engaged and that their opinion are sought. So we don't want to say people, say for instance you have three villages. There's a mine discovered next to village one. And you don't consult people in village B and C. Yet whatever that will be happening there will have a direct impact on them. For instance, if you have pile of soil that has been removed from underground, there's a wind, it will go and it will blast to that side. So they are automatically affected. So that is why we say everybody should be consulted so that they have a view on that particular aspect. I would leave the most difficult questions to Ubabu Makala next to me, then going that way to my seniors. So thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I do agree with your earlier comments about procedure, because this is exactly how I also saw it. But let me come to Honorable Mandela's question regarding the definition of community. Actually, we have brought a wider definition than what is in the Act. Let me invest your attention to what we say. We say community means a coherent social unit. What Honorable Mandela said about the ZCC or other religious communities, they are all social units. So it is very, very wide. So previously, before we came with social units, it only had group of persons. So it is wide, it's not exclusive. And with regard to Ukone Tantaha, the preferential phase. I think we put it within the context of where we're coming from. I think we all know that, let me use provinces and municipalities as examples, when they've got tenders. If you tender from outside, you are going together. They say, we give preference to the people in those communities. And it's not unconstitutional, because we also prepared our comments within the context of the constitution. It is not unconstitutional. It's like saying the demographics of that particular area. Now, coming to labor sending areas again, Honorable Mandela, we hate to use definitions or phrases with negative connotations, because I think we should not be reminded by what was said some few years ago that people from Eastern Cape are refugees. So let us not use the terminology labor sending areas. It has got a very negative connotation. Our preference, you said, is preferential employment opportunities. And it does not exclude, obviously, because at the end of the day, we're talking to business, mining chambers. If there are no skills, you seek skills outside. You don't need to put it inside the definition. In law, there are certain things that you say that if you read the context
of the Bill of the Act, it is not excluded, because one of the fundamental interpretation or reading of an act is that if it is not prohibited, it is allowed. So nothing is being prohibited. Now, coming to the dilemma, with regard to the definition of beneficiation, I hear we say that we are excluding it. We are not excluding it. What we are saying is that the current one is very, very restrictive. So we say, widen it. Don't give it to the judge when there's a dispute to say that, well, this is very vague, I don't understand it, and the judge will now say, I want to give it a secondary meaning. So the previous bill was all encompassing. So we want it to be like that to exclude doubt. There's no harm in putting it in, but there is harm if you exclude it. Because then you are left it to a phrase, and the phrase says that beneficiation means transformation. What is transformation? We can debate about it. We don't want to have a debate on transformation. Value addition. What is value addition? We're going to get experts, engineers, etc. We're going to because people can take it and can even want to get geologists downstream. We don't know what it means. So we say that. And it is very, very clear in our proposed amendment. It says beneficiaries includes transformation, blah, blah, blah. Then they say, but not limited to. So including the rest that you want to take out. Why do you take them out? When you face with a case where the court gave a different interpretation on the, I didn't find anything. So you rather make it as right as possible. There's nothing wrong in there. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will also try to cover a few aspects that may be left. I think there is an issue that was raised by Honorable Nkosi Mandela on the percentage. I know that the Chair has maybe we may not have to get into that, but I think, Chair, when we are saying minimum, I think we're not necessarily restricting that it should always be 26%, but we're saying it should not go beyond 26%. Can be anything, can even be 60% or 80% or whatever, but we should never allow it to go below 26%, and I think we're trying to open it up. As Tate Masala has mentioned, I think on the issue of communal land, it's something that we are still engaging the Department of Land Affairs, because we still believe that the land belongs to those communities. It does not necessarily belong to the minister as it is stated. You know, it's something that we are vehemently arguing, and we have decided to push very strongly for us not to continue with what was done in the previous governments, where as traditional leaders and communities, they are taken to a certain piece of land, or that piece of land used to belong to you as a community, all of a sudden it belongs to the minister, or it belongs to the state, and you as the community not necessarily have rights, full rights to that land. So we are currently engaging the Department of Rural Development on that issue. Maybe, Chair, I just wanted to add on the definition of a community. I agree with Bob Masala that we've tried to open it. I think when one was listening to the debate by our Honourable Minister Van Rooyen yesterday, when he was saying that no one lives in the national or province. Everybody lives within a municipality or within a local sphere. So that's why we're saying that it's a group of persons under the jurisdiction of the local government. So it includes anybody. It's open. So those people are living in that community. It does not necessarily exclude any other person. And a traditional candle, and I think what was trying to give a definition.
of what it means to be a member of a traditional council. I think Ntate Matlala raised an issue around who constitute this council or this body that we are proposing. I think within our proposals, we said this either committee, portfolio committee of parliament, would be the one that vested with the powers of, I think, you know, determining in terms of who would constitute that council and how people that are going to be in that council would be appointed. All we said is that it should be an independent structure that operates like the gaming board and other independent structures, you know, that are not necessarily where it is not necessarily the responsibility of one person. We believe that sometimes if we just leave things to only a person, I know that minister is not necessarily a person in the department, there are other people that are there, but if it's an independent structure, it cannot easily be influenced like any individual would be influenced. So that's why we are proposing that it should be a structure that is independent and that has been selected by this committee. I think Honorable Dinini was, I think he was honored in that it promotes what we are seeing as a community might be promoting regionalism. I think our members did try to answer that, and we are, it's an open